There they are. Got two seats right there. See, it's better to walk in late because then everybody says hi to you and stuff, you know? It's like, maybe I should do that too. Walk in, you know, 11:15. Hey, welcome, John. No, I don't think I can get away with that. It's right. It's right. We love everybody. Okay. Matthew part 12.
Come on, John.
Yeah, I'm hoping to finish Matthew by going back to Matthew 1 on the 17th of December to do the Christmas story. And by the way, the 24th, Jen and I won't be here, the 24th is Christmas Eve, so we should cancel church, right?
No.
No!
Never.
No! So we're going to have an amazing guest preacher, the 24th. He's pretending he doesn't know. Michael Aguilar is going to preach.
Yeah!
All right, so going back, we're in Matthew 16. You know, Jesus, who do people say I am? And Jesus, Peter said, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus says, that's awesome, Peter. This is not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Great, awesome. And then Jesus says, oh, by the way, just, you know, now I'm here at Caesarea Philippi, the farthest reaches of the Jewish territory. I'm going back to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die. And you're going to come with me. And Peter says, no, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. Bad idea. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Right? He says, anyone who will not take up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. All right. And at that point, the disciples, they need a little bit of encouragement, right? And then they had that little transfiguration thing, right? And God, you know, God appears to them and he's all lit up and Jesus is all lit up and we got Moses, we got Elijah. And God said to the apostles, this is my son whom I love. So in case you didn't know, we got seats up here. Sorry, you're in spitting distance. You're in spitting distance. That's all right. That's good. That's good, good, good. All right? And so, amen. He says, look at my son. Then last week we had, that was the beginning of our sermon actually, but last week we primarily looked at relationships and the kingdom of God, right? The first thing we found out is the greatest in the kingdom is the least, right? Is like the child. And we decided not necessarily childlike per se, but being in the lowly, vulnerable position of a child. Those are the greatest in the kingdom. Those who put themselves at the bottom, God says, I'm putting at the top. Then we were reminded that if we have 99 sheep and there's one who's wandered, then we need to go out and bring him in. And some of us spent some time doing that week. And I'm thinking there's probably at least one person here this morning, maybe, possibly, because somebody dragged you in, you know, because you'd been wandering, straying a little bit. I'm not saying that Joshua was wandering or straying. I'm not saying that. But amen, guys. Welcome. Wow, this is our biggest crowd ever. This is great. This is a mess. Yeah, we didn't even set up enough chairs. Might have to have some people go out and get a couple chairs. That's great. We have two chairs up here. That's their punishment for coming in late. They got to sit in the front row. All right. Yeah, we got the couch. That's right. We got the couch. So we're told to go and bring the wandering in. Then we said, but what about the ones who are still here who sin against us, right?
Yeah.
So we learned about a process to deal with that in a loving way. And that was really great. So that was last week. And this week we're continuing our theme. We're continuing our theme of relationships in the kingdom of God, having to do with forgiving one another.
Come on.
All right, so that brings us to Matthew 18.
Okay.
That's the text for our sermon. We're just going to do one fairly short text this morning. Now, for people here for the first time, I apologize ahead of time. This is like a in-your-face sermon, all right? They're not all in-your-face sermons. We have some that are just mainly teaching and encouraging. But this morning, it's like, my first time here, you're going to hit me with that?
Yep.
But it's not my fault.
Preach it,
we're starting in Matthew 1. We're going to Matthew 28, and you landed on Matthew 18, okay?
Preach it.
The parable of the unmerciful servant. All right? So let's read verse 21 and 22 to kind of get the feeling for what's going on here. Verse 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered him, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. So Peter's like, he's kind of figured it out. I mean, you know, the whole thing with if my brother sins against me, right? And what do? You bring somebody in and like, well, and if they repent, I have to forgive them. And then if they repent again, I have to forgive them. Again? And it's like, man, there's got to be some kind of limit to this. I mean, how far do we have to take this? This is going to require a lot of mercy and forgiveness on my part. What is the limit to forgiveness? Surely there is one. You know, Jesus, you did tell us earlier in, they didn't call it chapter 5, but we call it chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, to love our enemies. But, I mean, up to a point. I mean, up to a point, obviously. And in typical Pharisaical Jewish, and not to put down on Jews in general, just in the cultural context of the first century Jewish, not Jews. Last thing we need around here is anything remotely like anti-Semitism, especially right now, okay? But I'm talking about Jewish perspective, first century. What they were looking for is a rule. So tell me, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? I mean, surely not more than seven times. I mean, my roommate, you know, leaves a mess in the kitchen the first time. All right. And he leaves a mess in the kitchen the second time. The fifth time, it's time to, you know, get him out of the apartment there. Seven times? Wow. Jesus says, no. Not seven times, but 77 times. And you can imagine Peter going, one, two, three. And by the way, many manuscripts have 70 times seven. Now, the difference between 70 times seven and 77 times, numerically, that's 490 versus 77. But that doesn't matter because 77 times, what that means is infinite number of times. It means infinite number of times. All right, now, in a marriage, you're probably going to get sinned against more than 77 times, honestly, but you're not supposed to agree with me so strongly there, all right? Manny's feeling on the spot right now. Wow. All right. Now, I want this lesson to sink in emotionally this morning. Whoops. That was really funny. All right, anyway. So, I mean, I get it. All right, 77 times. But let's allow ourselves to understand the emotion of forgiving somebody of the same thing 77. I think we all can agree intellectually, sure, all right, limitless number of times until you actually live with somebody and they do you wrong. 77 times. I want us to understand how incredible what Jesus is asking us to do. How out of the normal, out of the range of human experience. That's what we're talking about. I mean, I look at the number 77 or even infinite, all right? But then if I think about, yeah, that's a lot of forgiving. That's a lot of forgiving. So basically, I imagine Peter saying, all right, Jesus, help me out here. So what does Jesus do? He helps him out here by telling him a parable. And let's read that parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, let's stop right there. In this story, it doesn't take a Bible scholar to figure out who the king is. All right, let's see. We have a relatively newer Christian here in Noe. Who do you think the king is in this story?
Jesus.
Close. God. The Father, all right? The Father, God. Close enough. All right, so see, doesn't take a lot to figure that out. All right, the king wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, A man who owed him 10,000 talents is in the Greek. NIV has 10,000 bags of gold. All right. Think about that. All right. Was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that they had be sold to repay the debt. And I'd like you to imagine sort of the metaphorical spiritual equivalent of being sold to pay the debt, what that would mean, you know, in the symbolism of this parable. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. He said, "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, 100 denarii in Greek. He grabbed him, began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt back. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I cancel all that debt of yours." And by the way, in this story, who is this wicked servant? It's you. Now, hopefully not so wicked, but you are the person receiving the forgiveness of the debt. Right? This is a very easy parable to analyze, a really hard parable to put into practice. All right? "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart." How many times? 77 times or 70 times 7. So, Peter, how forgiving should I be? The answer is going to be as forgiving as God was. How many times should I forgive? The answer is, well, as many times as God forgave you. That's how many. Again, 77 times or 70 times 7, what we're talking about is unlimited, infinite, a level to which you'll never meet. For example, let's talk about 10,000 talents. And I did a little calculation. A talent, that's an actual quantity, so weight. The ancient talent in the Roman and Greek world was roughly 75 pounds. So 75 pounds of gold times 16 ounces times roughly $2,000 an ounce. I haven't looked it up lately. It's around $2,000 an ounce. All right, so a talent is worth around, let me see. Well, the 10,000 talents is $20 billion. But one talent is roughly $2 million. I did a little calculation. That is roughly the income I have had in my entire life. That's $2 million. That's a lot of money, actually. But, you know, you break it down into 30, 40 years, you know, that's actually not completely crazy. So in my entire life, if I spent no money on anything else except paying back the debt, I would have now paid off one talent.
Wow.
And how many talents would I have left to go? 9,999. And the guy had the nerve to say to his boss, "Well, be patient until I pay it all back." All right? That's you and that's me. And really, this parable has two main teachings, right? The first main teaching is how much God has forgiven you. That's the first teaching. And the second teaching is how you should forgive other people. I don't know which is the more important teaching in this parable. I do know the purpose of this parable was the second of the two. The purpose of this parable is so that you would forgive one another. Let me just look at the context. Which is the more fundamental, important teaching in the parable is something for you to decide. So anyway, he comes in. And by the way, I'm going to talk about the whole story, but I want to get the details in. He says 100 denarii, that's the Greek term. It basically, silver coin is a day's wage. So let's say a day's wage is $100. That's kind of low, but let's say it's $100. So this would be like $10,000. So the guy, the servant who had been forgiven, he goes to this other guy, and it's not like he owes him just a few bucks, all right? He owes him a lot of money. He owes him like $10,000 or $20,000. And if somebody owed you $10,000 or $20,000, I would imagine that would kind of eat at you after a while. I mean, come on, that's, let's just be real about it. All right, so the debt was not insignificant. So, you know, understand the context there. All right, so in this story, as we all can see, obviously the king represents God. And the person who owed $20 billion is us. Now, hopefully our response will not be the same, but that we are in that situation spiritually. All right? And who is the person who owes you 100 denarii? Who is that in this story? Well, in the context, that's probably your brother or sister. In fact, fairly likely, it might even be a person in this room. Now, I think we could broaden it to anybody who have anything to forgive of. And so I would certainly include family members, coworkers, even people that you don't like. I don't know. So this story is about how much God has forgiven us and then about the measure of our forgiveness of others. Now, what do we learn about God's forgiveness of us from this passage? What we learn is, wow, we're in deep doo-doo, or we were in debt. Yeah. Our chances of paying it back were not next to zero, they were just flat out zero. In all efforts of our actions to undo the damage of the sin we'd done against God, were a joke. Like, don't even waste your time. I mean, go ahead and do stuff. In fact, God wants us to do stuff. But to measure that against the debt we had to God is, it's like, it's silly. We laugh at this guy, right? We laugh. We're angry at this guy, but we also laugh at this guy to that he didn't notice $20 billion, $10,000. And, you know, this reminds me, I mean, how did he get in debt by $20 billion in the first place? I mean, has anybody loaned you, say $10 million? No, okay.
Never.
I mean, how did we get so deeply in debt with God in the first place? What that means to me is God has entrusted a lot to you. God has entrusted something incredibly, spectacularly valuable to you, Mary, to you, Juan. He has considered you trustworthy over a lot of stuff, which is yourself, essentially, your time, your energy, and those things. And so that we have sinned and rebelled against God puts us in a position of great debt. But it tells me how much God has entrusted to us. And because of that unpaid debt, we will be sold, right? It says here we will be sold to repay the debt. Metaphorically, to me, I think that means we will be forever in hell. I think that's what it's talking about. And so the guy says, be patient with me. Right, be patient with me. The insanity. But, you know, all world religions are work salvation based. All world religions, except the true one, the Christian one. All world religions are, let me do this and this and this, and then I'll be good. The insanity of that. But that's what the human flesh tells us. The human flesh tells us, yeah, I got a problem, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to fix it. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's what the human flesh, read Galatians, that's one of the main messages of Galatians. The human flesh says, I got a problem, so I'm going to go and work it off. You know, I'm going to spend my Saturdays for the next 20 years and, you know, and showing up to Catholic services and going out to Planada and, you know, sharing my faith and, you know, just being a good person and, you know, and giving flowers to my wife and, whatever. And our human nature tells us that's what we need to do. This story tells us that won't work. That won't work. So what we need is mercy. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. A little side passage here. This is a fun one. It's one of my favorite little throw-in passages. So I might have already thrown it in by now if you've been around long enough, but maybe not. It's not a throw-away passage. Oh, no, 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 no. It's a throw-in passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2. I like to remember. This is one of those passages I just think about. We've talked about memorizing passages. This is a good one. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. I'm going to start in verse 1, but the main thing I'm going to look at is verse 2. Now then, this then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ, as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So I want to ask us, I want you to ask yourself this morning, how much has God entrusted to you? Well, the value of that thing is at least $20 billion. That's a lot of money. Now, the U.S. government spends that in 2 days, but, you know, never mind that. That's politics. I better stop talking about that. All right, back to Matthew 18. So we were in a really bad place. In one sense, in a great place, because God loved us so much, He entrusted so much to us. He entrusted our lives to us. And the gifts to us. The ability, all these things He entrusted to us. But we messed up super bad. We ended up owing $20 billion. Right? So in verse 26, He said, "Be patient with me." Verse 27, the service master took pity on him and canceled the debt, but he made sure that he knew exactly what was going on, and he let him know, you know, if you mess up again, this debt is, you know, it's hanging over your head. It's going to be hanging over your head. Just one more mess up, one more slip up, you know. Yeah, I'll forgive you, but you're going to be on parole for the next 97 years. And you're going to wear an ankle bracelet. Yeah. And I'm going to be having a parole officer. Yeah, you're a discipler. You know, I'm going to be a parole officer. That's an inside joke this is a little inside joke of our church, but no, it seems like it was an unconditional. It's like, again, he wasn't asking for it all to be forgiven, or maybe, did he ask for it all to be forgiven? I can't remember. He said, I'll pay it back, you know, so just give me more time, you know. God, just let's kind of work out a little compromise. I'll do this, you do that, I'll do that. And God just says, God. And if you're in Christ, your sins, God. Not just the sins of the past. Not just the sins you committed this week. Not just the sins, I'm guessing you're probably going to sin this week. I don't know. What do you think, Josue? You think might sin this week? No, Josue is not going to. I'm going to guess you're going to sin this week. And not only that, but the sins you're going to commit 50 years from now. Gone. Wiped out. Clean. Unconditional. Well, no, actually, according to this passage, not fully unconditionally. You know, As I read the Bible, I only find one thing that God holds over our head in terms of this forgiveness of sins. And it's right in this passage right here. It's also, we already read it also in Matthew 6, I think, verse 8. I can't remember the exact verse. It'll be later on. Yeah, there is one condition. It's because we hear about unconditional love. And I would say 99% of our preaching needs to be about God's unconditional love. That's got to be the main emphasis. But we might want to notice it's almost completely unconditional. But it's not quite unconditionally, unless this is just a story that Jesus is telling to just to get our attention. I think this story is to be taken as true. Right? God forgiven. It's like it never happened. And even the things that haven't happened yet, it's like it never happened. Amen. Wow. Compared to your college debt getting wiped out by Biden, right? That's like nothing. Nothing. And so he goes away. What's he do? A sister takes advantage of him. A brother borrows some money and doesn't pay him back. A roommate spreads bad news about him. And it ultimately results in him breaking up from his girlfriend. Ouch. That's what we're talking about. Because, you know what? If you're around, first of all, probably all of us have been sinned against crazy amount sinned against as a child. Some of us like, whoa, it's crazy stuff. Others of us not so much. But, as a disciple of Christ, stuff's gonna happen. So this guy owed him, several thousand dollars. And he says, be patient with me. I'm sorry. That kind of really stunk. That was bogus. I literally lied about you to other people. All right? And it led to you being in a bad place. I undermined your reputation amongst the fellow believers, whatever it might be. But I'm sorry. And basically said, sorry's not good enough. Sorry's not good enough. You're going to have to do this, 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 and this. And you're going to have to prove to me. You're going to have to, no. You're going to have to earn my love back again. I'm done with you. That's just not going to happen. What typically is the worst thing that might happen to us? And let's be real about it. The answer is some of us in this room have had some really bad stuff happen to us. Others, not so much. But some of us, if the story of how we've been treated as a child, even by family members, were displayed on the screen this morning, we'd all be like, whew. Others of us, I don't have that story. In fact, probably the worst sins ever against me probably were by fellow Christians, honestly. Of course, I've been a Christian for most of my life, so that might be why. But, some of us maybe have been sexually abused by a family member, abandoned by a parent, betrayed by a trusted friend or colleague. Somebody in it did a corrupt thing which resulted in us losing our job or our car or our house. And yes, in the church, maybe we were ignored. Maybe we were disrespected. We might have been taken advantage of financially. That would never happen in the church. I'm sorry to tell you. I know some stories. Mm-hmm. I know some stories. Okay. Just so you know. And these are people that I consider actually to be disciples, and I know some stories. And if you think you're so awesome, trust me, you will sin against somebody as well. But according to this passage, according to this parable, what is the ratio? Just again, whether you're that person who has had extremely tragic and horrendous things that people should be in jail for done to you, or whether it's just a fellow Christian who blatantly undermined your reputation and put you in a bad spot so you couldn't really even feel good about yourself in the church. Whatever it is, let's do the ratio of that to what the debt you owed to God. All right, let's what's this parable say? Okay, what was done to you, and I don't mean to minimize it. In fact, in some cases, I even know people in this room who, like, I go, whoa, wow, that was tough. I mean, how can you forgive a father who did that? Or a brother or a sister? How could you? Wow, that's tough. But in this parable, what's the quantity associated with what was done to you? In this parable, you could read it. I already kind of, it was on the earlier screen, right?
Very small.
Well, but give me a number.
20 million.
No, not even close. Like 100 denarii, like maybe 10-20,000 bucks. Now, to compare what was done to you to $20,000 may not seem reasonable, and I understand that emotionally. But the debt we owe to God is like $20 billion to compare to that. All right? That's my point. Not to minimize in any way whatsoever the seriousness of what happened to you in some cases. Right? And so if you walk away, yeah, he said what happened to me is not that big of a deal. Well, then that's not the words I used. He just compared it to $10,000 versus $20,000. That's Jesus. That's Jesus' parable. That's not the parable that I wrote. It's the parable that Jesus... Is Jesus using hyperbole? Is he... I don't know. The point is this. If you are a Christian, God has forgiven you way more than what you have to forgive somebody else. Way more. Okay? So, God says, therefore, you need to forgive somebody. That's it. We need to be willing and able and prepared to forgive people of some things that have been pretty hard to forgive of, right? Because the end of this parable is pretty serious stuff. Goes out and grabs this person who owed him like $10,000 and began to choke him. Have you done that? Have you said to your relative, no, forgiveness is not coming. No, not anytime soon. No, the damage is too great. No. No, no forgiveness. No, you owe me. And that's the way it's going to be. And saying sorry is not enough. Or even if they don't say sorry, it's not enough. And symbolically here in this story, what is the result of this man refusing to forgive the debt of his fellow worker? He says here in verse 34, he says, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Well, how long is it going to take this man to pay back the $20 billion? I mean, especially if he's in jail. It's kind of hard to earn $20 billion sitting there in debtor's jail. So, you know what? We need to take this passage seriously. As a fantastic encouragement on the one hand, what God did for you, but as a really, really serious warning on the other hand, that if you will not forgive your fellow Christian or even your family member or even your, even possibly even your abusive person in your life, then God will not forgive you. All right? So let's just stop, just kind of sit in our seat for a minute. And who is it for you? Who is it for you? There's a few of us for whom it's literally nobody. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That is great. That is great. All right. But I'm guessing there's more than a few people in this room for whom it's a list. It's two or three people. It might be a fellow believer. This group's sort of new. It's probably not, actually. It's probably not. Okay. Probably not. Probably nobody here has done anybody in this room wrong, just because we haven't been around long enough to do that much wrong to each other. Eventually, it probably will be someone in this room, but right now, it's more likely a family member, a coworker from a different situation, another student, a professor. It's probably going to be somebody, more likely than not somebody from outside. But right now, who is that person? Don't raise your hand and shout out the name, but who is that person? Who is that one or two people who you literally have not let go of yet? No? Mm-mm. I'm sorry. Nope. That's not going to happen. Not yet. Parental mistakes, betrayal by a friend, being ripped off by somebody you trusted, being publicly insulted. Yep. And again, says in verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. Let's go to Colossians 3, 12 through 13. This is a pretty simple message. If you don't understand this message, I don't know how you could not understand this message. It's pretty straightforward, you know. The message is the incredible extent of the forgiveness God offers you, unconditional. And the debt we have, therefore, to forgive those who sin against us. That's pretty much it. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Go eat popcorn. Yep, there you go. See, Josh, he's got it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Awesome. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive each other. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So what right do you have to withhold forgiveness given how God has forgiven you? So who is that person? Who are those people that flashed into your mind a few minutes ago? You know who they are. That's, you know, we forget things, but there's certain things we don't forget. We just flat out don't forget. And that's who we've not forgiven. That's man, I don't care how much your memory goes. Old people, I don't know. I'm not old enough to know yet, but I'm pretty sure you're senile laying there and you're, you know, you barely recognize your own kid. And you're like, bah, but that one person.
No.
I don't know if that's how it works. He says, as God has forgiven you, and just ask yourself, as God has forgiven you 10,000 talents. That's how much you need to forgive other people. Not just 100 denarii, not just 7 times, not just 77 times, 70 times 7. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Mateo 6, capítulo 6, Matthew 6. We already read this passage just about 6 weeks ago. But I told you then I'm going to come back and reread it, so we're doing that now. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. This is at the end of that very famous prayer, right? Our Father in heaven, praise be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Verse 14 and 15, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Do we need anybody with a theological degree to analyze that, break that sentence down into the subject and predicate and the prepositions and stuff like that and the tense of the Greek words? All right, so that's something. That's something. Now, what if you can't get there this morning? All right, well then, get there tomorrow morning, or maybe later this week. Maybe write a letter, because you can't force an emotion just sitting there. You can't force an emotion. You can make a decision, like Jan was saying. You can make a decision to move it to start down that road, but you know you can't. Because forgiveness is from the heart, and you can't just force your heart by just simply by deciding. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So it is an absolute imperative for us to forgive. What's the motivation for forgiving? God's forgiveness of us. Right? And, but there, you know, there's things that can make it particularly hard. For example, what if the person, has never apologized? What about that? We've had this discussion earlier. The Bible leaves room for expecting apologies, especially in a Christian situation. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I mean, and that's a good discussion to have. This is a sermon Sunday morning. We're not going to go into that right now. But in the end, I mean, this is not hard to figure out. In the end, we need to be prepared to forgive. That does not necessarily mean they can borrow your car again.
Yeah.
Okay? Not necessarily. Okay? Forgiving and fully trusting are not exactly equal. If you have a parent who's been physically abusive, you don't just go hang out in their house and let them physically abuse you again. Right? It might be complicated. I want to pretend that it's not complicated. But yes, you need to be prepared to even to let that go. Even that, to let it go. What if they've already died? That's a tough one. Probably somebody in this room, when I ask who's that person, the person you thought of is dead already. You can still forgive them. You can still forgive them because forgiveness is something you're holding on to.
Yes.
Is it harder? Yeah. It's harder. But yeah, I believe you can forgive them.
Amen.
Remember that ratio, 100 denarii to 10,000 talents. So by the way, I don't want to say this is a simple matter and you just decide today and you forgive and so I don't think so. It might be. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be that you heard the sermon and that thing you've been hanging on to, you just say, hey man, I'm just going to let it go. That'd be great. But if you can't, well then, let's have some talks. Let's start a process because, I don't think God's, you know, scimitar is sitting over your head unless you forgive that person today. You know, God's gracious, but it's still what this parable says is what it says. And it says really two things. Yeah, there you go. That's that slide that I talked about. All right. What if they don't apologize? So we have an almost infinite debt of sin that we owe to God. And he just said, it's all gone. It's like it never happened. Whew. Guilt free. That's amazing. And God is willing to remove the entire debt without condition, except potentially one condition, which is that we need to be willing, we must be willing and to forgive those who have sinned against us. So that's the lesson for this morning, and hopefully it's been helpful. And now we have a song. I think I'm going to be sitting up here. There's no seats left. That's great. It's fantastic.
All right, everyone, let's stand up. I'm going to sing a song.